for the offertory this afternoon, Mr. Chris Hancock.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arth. Good afternoon, everyone. Just thinking of the irony of listening to our opening prayer, about 1,000 years ago, we would not be quite so thrilled to hear someone from Norway speaking amongst us. But now we are thrilled and delighted by your company. Coming by Boeing is much nicer than coming by the longboat. It's been a number of years that I've been given the opportunity to announce the offering. And we know how dangerous it is to come up with something new. So I can't come up with anything new. But I can come up with a slightly stronger perspective. We won't turn to Exodus 23, unless you particularly want to and ignore what I'm saying. We won't turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, unless you particularly want to follow your own study during these next few minutes. What I would like you to do is turn to James 1, the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, and concentrate on this aspect of why we give an offering. James writes, starting at verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We're going to give a small gift. Hopefully we'll give it with as perfect a heart as we can. But just imagine how much we enjoy as a result of what God gives us. Absolutely everything we enjoy is from God. Nothing is possible. All of us have worked hard to save an offering, to fulfill our obligations, but without God making it possible for us to breathe, to be strengthened with food, to have the opportunity, the physical strength to work, we still would have nothing. Continuing verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Imagine, if you can, the impossible dream God has set before us. He has, by the word of God, become our Father. We are now in the gestation period, growing to become perfect, so that we will be ready to be born into the very kingdom of God as sons. As heirs to the promise. Heirs indeed, then. We can give God nothing. So why does he require a gift of us? Because we are able, by this giving, to show a small aspect of Christ's character as he lives in us and acts and motivates us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are practicing the character of God by giving. Let's look at another example of how God gave. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 10. This is something very, very difficult for us to grasp. Very, very difficult for us to contemplate practicing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, we are reminded, for if, when we were enemies of who? Enemies of God. When we were antagonistic towards God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There is very unpleasant fighting going on in Iraq at the moment. People are dying. Some of those men possibly die to save other people. But they die for their friends, for their comrades. God died when we hated him. When I was called into the church, just before I was called into the church, I was antagonistic towards religion. It's ironic now to have people antagonistic towards me because I'm religious. I don't like being called weird, by the way, Mr. Bowles. Peculiar, please. Dear. I hope we aren't weird, but people are going to react violently against us, are antagonistic towards us. Even people from former fellowships are not exactly thrilled with us. We don't completely agree with them. We don't completely respect the minister that they choose to follow. Do we make the mistake of following men, or are we striving to follow Jesus Christ? Which, of course, we know Mr. Bowles is always trying to teach us. We can rely on no man. And I mean that not disrespectful to faithful ministers, but we can rely on no man. We have to rely on God, the God who sacrificed for us. If we are to take on this character, we need to be sacrificing. The money that we give, are able to give, are blessed to be able to give, will be used as money was used years ago for our benefit, that we could receive instruction, that we could be taught, that God could work through the ministry of other faithful men. Money was paid in by other brethren so that the message through Mr. Armstrong could go out on the radio, go out by the printing press. All of us are here because of the sacrifices of other little people like ourselves. We're not bullion millionaires. There's no property magnates here. If there are, I'll speak to you afterwards. Always looking for new contracts. We need to practice to have this character of God. We need to practice so that we can put material, this Back on Track website and the other things, that will help other people to see a way forward, where there can again be unity. Not because we've got it right, not because we are right, but there is a way forward where we can look back to where there was once unity, where God worked through the ministry, through the apostleship of Herbert Armstrong. And we don't worship Mr. Armstrong. We respect what God did through that very human, frail man. Why did people put so much effort into bad-mouthing Mr. Armstrong? They were actually bad-mouthing God. God chose to use that man. We don't feel so threatened about King David. God worked with him. But we're not rejecting the message that came from King David. We reject, if we fall from the track, what we learned through Mr. Armstrong. Why do people put so much effort in talking him down? We don't worship Mr. Armstrong. We worship the God that worked through him. Looking at the earlier part of the chapter 5 of Romans, we're reminded, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. I hope we do stand there. I hope we haven't put ourselves outside of that grace. Continuing, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Sometimes it's difficult for us to rejoice because the glory that God holds out to us is just so imaginably fantastic. We doubt it. It's too good a deal. We're brought up with spin. People don't produce what they promise. They just tell you how good a job, how good a time you're having under their wonderful auspices. We solve the immigration problem by redesignating who is an immigrant. We may meet targets for people's treatment in the National Health Service by for failing to record the figures of the people who've been refused operations. I hope we're all grateful for the wonderful work being done on our behalf under our present worldly system. God tells the truth. This is the gospel truth. It's difficult to grasp. We are preparing to be the very children of God. Verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in the tribulation also. That's a difficult one to catch, isn't it? Knowing that the tribulation or the problems we go through works patience or perseverance. Even the bad things that happen to us, with God's help and protection, work for our benefit. The character we develop under difficult circumstances, the times when we are driven to our knees to ask for God, beseech God's help, are even good for us. If we keep it in perspective, not become discouraged, disheartened by it. And patience, experience hope. Our experience is how we develop character, what we go through. If everything runs smoothly for us, we don't develop character. I just put a few more pounds on. I'm having such a problem not to mention something today, but I'll try and avoid it. I must avoid it. It's a tribulation that is a good experience for me. Somebody asked, when would the next break in the church be? The next time I'm asked to speak in the afternoon, okay? I'm sorry, everyone on the web. It's a good job you don't know what bad attitude some people have in this part of the world. All right, me, okay. Oh dear, I'm sorry, this is a more serious subject than that. And hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. That is why we will be giving an offering a day today. Because of the Holy Spirit shed abroad in us, we are developing the personality and character of God. We have gone beyond the fact that we give because we are jolly well ordered to give. We give because it is the personality and character of God living within us. We are giving so that others will benefit, some of whom would not even appreciate what we're doing. But hopefully, in time, they will. If we are giving just to serve ourselves, we miss the mark. We are giving to help other people, as people gave years ago that helped and benefited us. There is some offertory music, which is Eli, Eli, Lama, Sabachthani, taken from Psalm 22. It will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson, and accompanied by Mrs. Estelle Munro.